Welcome to the Healthy Skin Show with Jennifer Fugo, where we're flipping everything you've been told about your chronic skin issues upside down and connecting you with alternative solutions your dermatologist never told you about.
Welcome back to episode number 215 of the Healthy Skin Show. In today's episode, we're talking about antibiotics and probiotics. I get asked frequently for advice on what to do if you need to take antibiotics. It's understandable to want to avoid antibiotics as much as possible. I totally get it, but sometimes they're necessary. Maybe you've got a pretty bad staph or strep infection on your skin, or something else happens out of the blue as it did with me when I discovered my foot was swollen from a tick completely ballooned with blood hiding between my second and third toes a couple of months ago. In my situation, antibiotics were really important to get started on to potentially halt any issue with Lyme should one of those infections be present. But also, I came to discover that the tick carried Rocky Mountain spotted fever, so starting antibiotics immediately was very much to my benefit. The course was rather long, 3 weeks, so I needed to do what I could to prevent any intense problems with my microbiome, which I'm already aware tends to be a bit more on the depleted side thanks to stool testing I run on myself. I shared in my newsletter as well as on Instagram what I was doing to support my gut during the antibiotics. So I figured I'd share it here on the Healthy Skin Show so that it could help even more people. So if you find yourself confronted with having to take antibiotics, here's what you need to know. If you've ever wondered the question, how exactly do you take probiotics with antibiotics? I'm going to answer that right now. So if you've ever been concerned that if you were to take probiotics while on an antibiotic, it would be canceled out. And this is, by the way, a really common question I get from clients. Your head's in the right place because we know that antibiotic exposure decreases the good gut bacteria, which can include the probiotics that you take. So the answer to this question is yes. If you take antibiotics and probiotics too close together, the probiotics will essentially be canceled out. So taking them together will not help. And this does include fermented foods like yogurt. That begs the question then, what exactly are you supposed to do so that this doesn't happen? The general recommendation is to take probiotic supplements 2 to 3 hours before or after a dose of antibiotics. This timing rule also includes spore-based probiotics like Megaspore Biotic. The only exception to this rule would be Espilardi, which I will talk more about in a moment because it's a yeast, not bacteria. The reason this is such a big deal to me is that my memories of taking antibiotics for most of my life all pretty much look the same. Bad diarrhea. I imagine you might have also had a similar experience at some point in time. Antibiotics don't always trigger diarrhea for everyone, just so you know, but it's the dreaded impact that we all have come to experience quite intimately. And that's where probiotics can really help. Before you pick some up, there are a few things you should know about probiotics to help inform your purchasing decisions. Probiotics, first of all, are not all created equal. Different strains can have vastly different impacts on the gut as well as your health, and research continually expands our knowledge about this. Some strains aren't appropriate for every situation, especially those with histamine intolerance, since some probiotics can increase histamine in the gut, exacerbating an already problematic situation. Some probiotics are bacteria, while others are fungal. And sometimes your symptoms can help you determine which is better to take. For loose stools or diarrhea, Saccharomyces boulardii, or Espilardi, is probably going to be your best bet, unless you have a known IgE allergy or antibodies, which the antibodies piece is most common in those with IBD, to a strain of yeast called Saccharomyces cerevisiae. Saccharomyces boulardii is available worldwide at local pharmacies, and it's often sold in the U.S. under the brand name Florastore. But be aware, for those of you who have an issue with lactose, Florastore does contain lactose. If you have a problem with lactose, you can certainly get S. boulardii in other formulations that do not include the lactose. Now, this probiotic is well known to help with diarrhea and can firm up soft stools. However, it's generally not good for someone who is constipated, as it will likely make things worse. You'll notice that this yeasty fungal organism called S. boulardii, the capsules themselves contain much smaller quantities of organisms, typically 3 or 5 billion CFUs, compared to bacterial probiotics. And listen, that's normal. While you might do fine with a bacterial probiotic that's 50 or 100 or even 250 billion CFUs per dose, that's not appropriate with S. boulardii. If you take too much S. boulardii, you can end up constipated. So take what you need and talk to your practitioner if you need more than, say, 5 or 6 capsules per day to control diarrhea. Spore-based probiotics, on the other hand, can also be helpful. You might be familiar with Megasporebiotic. Depending on how dysbiotic or imbalanced your gut is, it could help maintain form stools during antibiotic use. I generally do not start a client on Megasporebiotic if they need to begin antibiotics, but I will keep them on it if they're already taking it. The reason I don't start someone on Megaspore at the same time as starting antibiotics is because it's possible to have die-off reactions to Megasporebiotic. That's why you always start taking a lower amount and slowly ramp up over the course of 2 to 4 weeks. Die-off symptoms are typically a sign of pretty bad dysbiosis. And then there are different multibacterial strain probiotics, some of which contain Lactobacillus acidophilus and Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG, and those two can potentially be helpful. For those of you who are wondering about the Lactobacillus rhamnosus GG, this can actually be found in a probiotic specifically called Culturelle. Now, during my recent antibiotic course due to the tick, I personally use the following probiotics daily: Megasporebiotic, Probiotic 225 from Orthomolecular, and HMF Bifido Powder from Genestra. Once I finish the probiotic 225, as it's a high dose of 225 billion CFUs per packet, I shifted to something less potent. This combo worked well for me, but this is my personal experience based on what I know about my unique gut microbiome and symptoms, and not necessarily a recommendation for you, since I don't know your situation and health status. And yes, as you can see from my example, you can take different probiotics at the same time. I opted for powders over capsules, with the exception of Megasporebiotic, which you can actually open the capsule and put the powder into something. And I added all of this to a protein shake since I can't swallow pills. Lastly, in terms of how long you should take probiotics for a round of antibiotics, ideally you will take the probiotics during the entire course of antibiotics. So you don't necessarily wait until they're over, right? You now know how to do this. So you don't wait until they're over. You take them during the entire course of antibiotics. And then generally speaking, I would say it's best to continue them for at least 2 to 3 months, if not possibly longer, after you're done the antibiotics. But that would really be based on your health, your gut, and your practitioner's recommendations. And even though everyone asks about probiotics if they have to take antibiotics, rarely does anyone ask about foods that can also be helpful. And this is crucial, especially if you're really serious about tending to a healthy gut flora. The bacteria that live there require sustenance in order to thrive. So taking probiotics just on their own may not be sufficient enough to encourage what you take during times of antibiotics or not to take root. Keep in mind that generally, probiotics are transitory. So what you take only hangs around in your GI tract for about 6 weeks. If you stop taking them, just know that their impact will disappear after that 6-week period, which is why what foods you eat are a crucial piece of the puzzle. Gut bacteria ferment fermentable starches found in FODMAP-rich foods. That's why I will typically encourage clients while taking antibiotics to also increase high FODMAPs to tolerance. So that means without triggering extra gas or bloating or burping and other GI symptoms. Foods that I personally chose to focus on while I was on the antibiotics were cauliflower, fresh figs, strawberries, blueberries, asparagus, avocado, chickpeas, Brussels sprouts, onions, and garlic. I also added in hydrolyzed guar gum, also called sun fiber, which is in one of my favorite mixes from Gut Power. I absolutely love their chocolate. And you can use the coupon code HealthySkinShow at checkout to get 15% off your order. We'll have the link in the show notes. And sun fiber is considered a SIBO-safe fiber according to Monash University. I also added in some inulin, which you increase slowly, my friends, as your gut adjusts to it, starting with 1/4 teaspoon a day and working my way up to about a teaspoon in my morning protein shake. Now, I know that high FODMAP foods get a super bad rap as if FODMAPs are inherently bad for you. For some with overgrowth issues, they can cause gut dysfunction and symptoms associated with IBS. And if that's your situation, then increasing them wouldn't make sense. But if you can tolerate them, I highly encourage you to add them in along with probiotics while taking antibiotics. And one final point about using fermented foods in lieu of probiotics. I know a lot of people think that yogurt alone is sufficient to take with antibiotics, but I'd argue otherwise. Typically, yogurt contains a handful of strains that are not likely at a therapeutic dose in a little cup or serving size of yogurt. It's sort of like trying to put out a raging forest fire with a soaker hose. It'll help, but it's really not all that effective. And the same could be said of fermented foods. Again, they are a helpful tool to have in the toolbox if you can tolerate them, but they do not compare to the power and potency of a supplement in this particular situation. With all this said, is it necessary for everyone to take probiotics while on antibiotics? Well, generally speaking, taking probiotics may be helpful for a few reasons. If you've been colonized by C. difficile, aka C. diff, but don't yet present with an infection, probiotics may be helpful when taking antibiotics. The stats speak for themselves. If probiotics are recommended along with antibiotics, quote, the risk of developing C. difficile associated diarrhea is reduced by 60% on average, end quote, according to a 2017 Cochrane review of 39 randomized trials. Specifically, Espolardi, that friendly fungal probiotic we discussed, can be a great option, especially if you tend towards soft or loose stools when on antibiotics. Another concern is if you have a history of fungal or yeast overgrowth, because the use of antibiotics can allow the yeast to essentially flourish by reducing the healthy gut flora that's keeping it in check. But the truth is, not everyone needs probiotics while taking antibiotics. First of all, those who are immunocompromised, you need to speak to your doctor first about whether it's safe for you to take probiotics, period. Secondly, there are some instances where overgrowth patterns in the GI tract, like in the case of small intestine bacterial overgrowth, also called SIBO, may make the need for probiotics unnecessary because there's already too many gut bugs present in the GI tract. Typically, I can make a recommendation for the appropriateness of taking probiotics during antibiotics based on a comprehensive stool test. That's why a more personalized approach can inform the need for probiotic supplementation. And that's a significant point here, given that most people have been convinced that generally everyone's microbiome, and especially their bacteria, have been depleted due to antibiotic use. But clinically, I see patterns of overgrowth much more frequently than undergrowth. So talk to your doctor and other practitioners to decide what's the best way forward for you. Everyone is different, and so you must approach the health of your gut based on your own history and symptoms and concerns, not what I personally did or anyone else who shares their experiences, even online, because you are unique. It's my hope that by listening to this episode and checking out the various references and resources here, that you will be able to make better decisions moving forward. Now, if you've got any questions or thoughts you'd love to share about this topic, or you want to see those resources I've put together for you, head on over to skinterrupt.com/215. There you can leave any thoughts so we can keep the conversation going. And because this episode can be useful for so many people, even those without any skin issues, share this information to help your family and friends make smarter choices when it comes to minimizing the impact of antibiotics on their gut microbiome. And before you head off for your day, take a moment to rate and review the Healthy Skin Show on your podcast platform. It would mean so much to me. I love reading the reviews. It helps so many people. And then before you jettison out of there, hit the subscribe button so you can tune in each week for new research, tips, client stories, and all sorts of inspiration to help you rebuild healthy skin. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I look forward to seeing you in the next episode.